Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of St. Clare of Assisi. She was a beautiful Italian noblewoman who became the foundress of an order of nuns we now know as the Poor Clares. When she heard St. Francis of Assisi preach, her heart burned with a desire to imitate him and to live a poor, humble life. So one evening she ran away from home and in a little chapel outside of Assisi gave herself to God. St. Francis took her, her sister, and some other young women under his wing. She was canonized in 1255 by Pope Alexander IV. She is the patroness of TV because reportedly when she was too ill to attend Mass, she could see the Mass on the wall of her room. Fittingly enough, the foundress of EWTN was a poor Clare. On today's Trumpet, we have a very full show for you. Carrie Migalski spoke with Tina Birch, the youth director at St. John Newman Parish in Sunbury, and talked to them about their upcoming kickoff rally and some events that they're looking forward to this fall. At the kickoff rally, they'll feature Joe Melendrez, a Catholic hip-hop artist, and Carrie had the opportunity to talk with Joe about his ministry and how it impacts our culture. But first up on the Trumpet, Matt Palmer sat down with Lisa Rice to talk about her childhood faith formation in Bexley at St. Catherine's, her family raising kids in today's culture, and her work in the ministry at the Bishop Griffin Center on the East Side.
Lisa, it's so good to have you here at the station. Thanks for joining us today.
Matt, it's a delight to be here.
I want our listeners to know that Lisa and I go way back. We actually grew up in grade school together. And I won't tell our listeners how old we are now, but the joy of knowing you as a sister in Christ now, after knowing you since we were in kindergarten together, it's a pretty special blessing for me.
It's a huge blessing for me, too. And can I just even throw out there, it's been a half a century.
There you go.
It's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. All right. So you let the cat out of the bag.
A little bit.
Well, Lisa, this is such an opportunity to just chat with someone that the Lord is really, he's just using you so beautifully these years. And take our listeners back and give them a little sense of your childhood and upbringing and what you remember about your Catholic formation and just kind of get them up through to your early adult life here in the next minute or two.
Okay. Well, like you said, we've got some similarities in our upbringing. We grew up in the same community in Bexley, Ohio. It was a wonderful place to grow up. It was a very safe, a very, faith-centric in its own way. I went through the Bexley schools. I grew up at St. Catherine Parish, received sacraments through the parish there. And as you know, went through the Bexley schools with you and your family. I think one thing that really stands when I look back on those days, realizing that there were many people like your family, you grew up Methodist. A lot of our friends grew up all different, you know, denominations, a lot of Christian families, a lot of Jewish families. I remember for a time in high school going to church with a friend, and at the time I remember Mass, but probably those of you who have raised teenagers have heard this before, but Mass at that time seemed less than exciting to me, and I didn't feel like I was really engaging it, and, you know, I was asked at one point to go to this church, and I thought, well, okay, and I remember going, and, you know, there was a lot of singing, it was very upbeat. A man at one point stood up and talked about how he had fallen away from the Lord for years and sort of told some stories about those times. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. We don't do this at Mass. This is really interesting. Went with for a while and then kind of thought something's missing here. But it took me into my adult years to realize what that something is. And when I realized that, that was a huge growth in my Catholic faith, is realizing the centrality of the Eucharist in my life, never being able to really put my finger on it back in those days about what is it that's different about the Catholic Mass, about me being Catholic. And it did take those years to, you know, to understand that, but I get it now.
You know, for our listeners, it's a great reminder that if they have children or friends or family that have fallen away and maybe joined a an evangelical Protestant church or a non-denominational church, to continue to pray and to ask the Holy Spirit to touch those people with a knowledge of Christ's presence in the Eucharist. I know in my own journey from Protestantism to Catholicism, it's really when I came to understand the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist that I really understood the beauty and the truth of the Catholic Church. So in the same way, you had that opportunity to kind of look at evangelical Protestantism and see some of the beautiful things, but look how the Lord worked and just brought you back into the fullness of the faith and reminded you that He is present at that altar, on that altar every day, every day. Well, tell us, Lisa, a little bit about, you're married to Chris and your beautiful children. So catch us up and talk to us about family life today, how long you've been married. Quickly tell us about your children, and then we're going to move into some of the ministries that the Lord has you involved in right now.
Okay. Well, we've been married for 34 years, and we are the joyful parents of six. Our oldest is 32, and our youngest is 11. And our oldest two children, our daughter Emily is married to a wonderful man, Billy Kalush. They just welcomed their third baby into the world on June 21st, little Jonathan Justin, named for Chris's brother, Father Justin. Our son Patrick is a youth minister at St. Pat's Parish. He and his wonderful wife, Emily, have four children, and we're delighted to have those grandbabies. Our son Christian comes next, and he is engaged to be married to a wonderful young woman, Holly Oak. We're thrilled about that. Our daughter Sarah has been very involved in all different things. I think a lot of people, everybody I run into seems to know Sarah. It used to be kind of like, oh, you're married to Chris. And I was like, oh, you're Sarah's mom. She'd been very involved in CYSC, different facets of youth ministry, just a lot of different things. She's been teaching, and just a wonderful young gal.
She's a joy, as are all your children.
Oh, they all are such a joy. And then Ben is going to be a senior at Bishop Hartley, and our Annie is going to be in sixth grade at St. Catherine.
What a beautiful family.
We're very, very blessed, very blessed.
What would you share with other parents out there that are listening when they at times get discouraged that maybe their children don't seem to be growing in the faith or remaining in the faith? Or, you know, you look back, you have such wonderful children, but I know the journey hasn't always been easy. What would you share with our listeners how to think and approach some of the challenges of raising children in today's culture?
One lesson I know the Lord has worked with me in a lot is to trust Him, just to really trust. And that's not easy. It's not in my nature. It's in my nature to panic and to worry and to give into all kinds of fear and anxiety. But I've learned over the years, I think that hindsight of being an older parent now is to trust. Because I look back on so many things that had me worried and thought, oh, Lord, you knew what was going to come. You know, your hand was in that. So to trust, hang in there. I like sharing my own story of there was a point in time in my high school years where my mom could have thought, oh, my goodness, look. And look where Lord brought me back in a much deeper way, all the richer for that. And for that, which I'm very, very grateful, to trust Him, to hang in there, look at the bigger picture too, and just keep, I think having that eye on the bigger picture, because it's so easy to look on something that's happening immediately now and get frustrated and, upset. And again, that trust keeps coming in.
It's a good reminder. The Lord is in charge. He has all of our children well in His hands.
And thank God for that.
Thank Him for it.
Yes.
Tell us about some of the beautiful ministries that you and Chris, now Deacon Chris Rice, are a part of. Start with the Bishop Griffin Center. That's such a beautiful ministry on the east side. Can you share a little bit with our listeners about that?
Oh, my goodness. I could go on and on and on about that one. The Bishop Griffin Center was formed 7 years ago on the east side. We're on the campus of Christ the King, and a wonderful group of parishioners from Christ the King, three notable ones, Richard Dick, Marge Tulersky, and Carl Smith, saw a need growing in that east and southeast part of the city, and a need that hadn't been there real for a number of years, and just realized, I think we need a little bit more here, a little bit more help. They combined forces with St. Vincent de Paul, and the Bishop Griffin Center was born. We have a food pantry And we have a household good clothing pantry, a community garden, which supplements the offerings of the pantry with fresh, nutritious, you know, you can't get closer to the table, you know, the
feel to the
yeah,
table.
Feel to the table than that. Mount Carmel Medical Center has their van there twice a month. And we have Dominican Learning Center uses it as a satellite for a lot of their wonderful programs. And we even just, it, we're, and being part of St. Vincent de Paul, we realize we're a ministry. We do, we're there to give food, to help with tangible things people need, the basic necessities of life. But we're a ministry as well. We're able to take time with the wonderful volunteers who are there to hold babies of tired moms who have got to go through racks of clothing and other things and to play with children. We have a children's room set up in our downstairs free store area where the, you know, household goods and clothing is. Because a lot of those children will never go to preschool. And the volunteers work with them in there to do projects and coloring. And it's very holistic. It's very much a ministry. And it's bringing Christ there. And the poor bring Christ to us. That's what's even more important is every day. They really, truly do.
Well, Lisa, our time is up this morning. But I wanted you to know how grateful we are that you would come and share all that the Lord is doing in your family life, in your marriage, at the Bishop Griffin Center. We'll bring you back on sometime to talk about the moms groups that you've helped to start at St. Catherine's that are such a beautiful ministry there. But thank you for being so open to the call of Christ in your life, for the joy that you give so many of us. We're so blessed to know you and love you, and have a wonderful day.
Matt, you do the same. Thank you so much. God bless.
It's time for some information about upcoming events in the diocese. The Wilderness Outreach Program, directed by John Bradford of Lancaster, is offering its services to men's group for weekend outdoor spirituality programs it can conduct in Columbus and at nearby areas this fall and in the spring and summer of 2015. Available dates are any weekend between October 3rd and November 30th, and in 2015, the weekends of April 10th through the 12th, 24th, 26th, and the first three weekends in May. Wilderness Outreach challenges priests, seminarians, and laymen to embrace and develop their God-given manhood through worship, work, asceticism, leadership, and brotherhood. For more information, contact John Bradford at 614-679-6761. Parish festivals this weekend include Our Lady of Perpetual Help, 3730 Broadway in Grove City, from 6 p.m. until midnight on the 15th and 16th, St. Andrew Parish, 1899 McCoy Road at Reed Road in Columbus, August 15th and 16th from 5 p.m. until midnight, and St. Elizabeth Parish on the 15th and 16th. They're located at 6077 Sharon Woods Boulevard, 6 p.m. to midnight on Friday, and Saturday, 5 p.m. to midnight. On Wednesday, August 27th, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal will be celebrating a Charismatic Mass at St. Paul Church, 313 North State Street in Westerville. Father Justin Rice will be celebrating. Rosary begins at 6 p.m., praise and worship at 6:30, and the Mass will begin at 7:30 p.m. For more information, call 614-914-8556. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. It's 12 minutes past the hour. Joe Melendrez realized his calling at a young age to serve the Lord with a relevant and radical ministry. At 15, he began his faith-filled outreach, offering spiritual retreat facilitation, Christian wrap, and food for the hungry. After graduating with a BA in religious studies, Joe released his revolutionary album Rosary Rap as a way to inspire all to embrace this powerful form of prayer. The hip-hop beats and rosary raps draw the listener deeper into meditation on the mysteries of the rosary. Rosary Rap continues to move others, especially youth, to know and love Christ as Mary did. Joe's sophomore album, Fully Alive, is a matured form of Christian hip-hop, featuring scripturally inspired and sacramentally based tracks created to help the listener live fully alive in Christ. Joe's latest, Kingdom Come, provides symphonic sounds, electro-hop vibes, and catchy faith-filled raps. It's bringing forth a new realm of music creatively promoting everlasting life. Joe is dedicated to building a generation of believers, establishing Joe Melendrez Ministries through inspirational music, spiritual retreats, and faith-based apparel. Joe continues to fuel his spiritual mission. Joe will be performing at the St. John Newman Youth Group kickoff on August 24th at 7 p.m., followed by fireworks. This concert will be open to all parish youth and leaders. In addition to the concert, Joe will also be at the Theology on Tap on Thursday, Friday and Saturday's core retreat, and the Sunday middle school concert at 12:30 p.m. Correspondent Carrie Migalski spoke with Tina Birch, Director of Youth Ministry, about the amazing experience Joe Melendrez has brought to the teens in years past and their excitement for another upcoming concert event.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is Tina Birch, who is the Director of Youth Ministry at St. John Newman in Sunbury. Welcome to The Trumpet, Tina.
Thank you for having me.
Tina, you have some really exciting different events coming up this summer. What are some events that are coming up in the future?
Well, we will have our kickoff August 24th, and we are inviting a rapper from California who actually went to the University of Dayton, so we can claim him in Ohio, but his name is Joe Melendrez, and he raps the Rosary. He has two other CDs or albums out there, and he is cooler than cool. He's just so holy, too. When I was talking to him last year when we brought him in, our kids can't wait for him to come back. When I was talking to him on the phone last year, setting things up, we got to the end of our conversation, and he said, Tina, could we pray together? And I'm like, yes, we can. It was just wonderful. And the whole night, our kids were just hanging on his every word. And the night he was here last year was the celebration of our Blessed Mother's birthday. So we sing happy birthday to Mary. I mean, he's just Catholic through and through, and he's just got this great way of communicating it. And our kids, of course, that culture is very dominant in we love the beat. It's an art. It tells a story. The rap tells a story. I think there are a lot of people out there listening right now who probably said it does. They're thinking it does, but it really does. And so what Joe does is he takes our Catholic story and puts it into this rap form, and our kids really, they are all about it.
Do you have these events listed on your website somewhere so that somebody can get more information? And is it open to all the teens in the diocese and their youth leaders?
It is open to all teens in the diocese and their youth leaders. We are hoping that they will join us for that evening. We're ending the night with fireworks, and we're actually inviting our entire parish and our community to the fireworks at 8 o'clock that night on August 24th. We're just going to sit in the parking lot and watch the fireworks go off. But prior to that, 7 o'clock is the concert, and it's open to all teens and their youth leaders in the diocese. And we have more information on our website at www.stjohnsunbury.org. Just spell out the word saint to get there, and / youth group.
Tina, what will Joe Melendrez be doing when he's visiting St. John Newman Parish?
Well, aside from our youth ministry event, which I've already told you about, we're going to start on Thursday night, which I believe is August 21st, with a Theology on Tap for our young adults. Then he's going to join us on our core retreat and go away with us, and he's the retreat master. He's running the retreat for us, which is awesome. And then when we get back on Sunday after our 11 o'clock mass at 12:30, he's doing a middle school concert just for middle schoolers. And then that evening, he'll do our high school concert at 7 o'clock after our 5 o'clock mass. So when we get him in town, we like to let everyone see his holiness and the fun that he brings to the stage.
Thank you, Tina, for sharing all the different things that St. John Newman's youth will be doing over the next couple months.
Next up, we'll hear Joe share his story with Carrie about how his music ministry has impacted our culture.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is Joe Melendrez, who is a Catholic musician who has really a ministry where he's known for rapping the rosary. So thank you for joining us today on The Trumpet, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
So talk to us about your background and how you got into this the Catholic music ministry.
Sure. Yeah, you know, God had always played a role in my life. I was raised Catholic. But it was more like I was culturally Catholic. It was part of my family. So church wasn't always the focal point. We normally would go to church when my grandparents were in town, or when it was Easter or Christmas. And I went to private school my whole life. I started off going to Episcopal school from first grade to eighth grade. And then I went to Catholic high school, all-guys high school called Central Catholic. And I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas. And so when I was like 13 years old, I started performing, and I was in a talent show, and I got this bug when I was on stage. I'm like, this is awesome. I want to be here. This is fantastic. I want to be a better performer. I started dancing. And so then when I was going into my sophomore year, it was the summer before my sophomore year of high school, there was a senior at my high school that asked me if I wanted to come on a retreat. And I said, sure, you know, I hadn't been on many retreats, but, you know, I was an open person and, you know, I'm ready for what's to come. And so I went on this retreat, and God really touched my life in a big way on this retreat. And it was, I had this moment where I was crying uncontrollably. And it wasn't because, you know, things were bad in my life. It wasn't because, you know, something really exciting happened. It was tears of the spirit. It was tears that were just not of this world. I knew at that moment that God was real. And I looked around and a lot of other people weren't crying like I was crying. So I felt like, you know, maybe God wanted to touch me in a different way because he has something planned for my life that he wants me to do to work for him. So that moment, I was 15 years old, started this whole process of discovery of, you know, what do you want me to do, Lord? Asking him daily, trying different ways to evangelize. Because I essentially wanted everybody I knew and didn't know to experience this love that I had experienced in this retreat. So I had to find different ways to evangelize. And one of the ways was through music. And I loved hip-hop music. And I loved the way it moved me. But I also wasn't, you know, set on how the content of all the hip-hop music that was out there. And I was like, you know, maybe if I could merge my love for God and my love for hip-hop and create something that'll help people to pray, help people to know their faith, it work out. And so that's kind of what started my interest in creating, you know, faith-based rap.
What's so incredible as I'm listening to you is that you were 15 and you took that, the gift of tears that you experienced, you took that experience and you automatically knew that God was calling you to do something for the glory of his kingdom. And, you know, I think we see now not many 15-year-olds have that wisdom about them, you know, to take an experience and then to really apply it to their life. So when did you start really getting that maybe confirmation that this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, it was, I remember sitting the day after the retreat, and I remember sitting and thinking to myself, God, what does this mean? What does this mean for my life? God, you are real. It's like I had this encounter with you. What does this mean? And so, excuse me. So, after that, you know, I really was praying a whole lot. And it's funny because, you know, the rosary, I'm such a big fan of it, but I kind of fell into praying the rosary because my carpool that I went to school with, his dad would pray the rosary every day as we drove to school. And it took us about 30 minutes to drive to school because it was downtown. So I was in the back seat, and I never really prayed the rosary. I learned about it on a retreat. I knew about it, but I was just kind of, I would coast into, like, you know, I'd fall asleep sometimes, but the rosary was still being prayed and prayed. And then when I started driving with my friend Chris, when we got our own cars, I said, you know, how about we continue to pray the rosary so we don't get in a car accident? He was like, that's a great idea. So we continued to pray, and then I started driving by myself, and I wanted to continue to pray. So, you know, over like 2.5 years of praying the rosary almost every day, I started experiencing so much grace, so much peace, and Mary was now greatly involved in this faith outreach and, like, leading me and showing me signs of what I say, you know, by the fruit, of good fruit, and helping me to navigate in this new faith life of mine.
That's so awesome. So when you're doing your concert, how do you see these kids responding to what you're doing and how you're presenting it to them?
Well, the thing with me, like, I was just actually in Spain at a Catholic festival. And my friend Alex traveled with me, and he speaks fluent Spanish, so he was helpful at translating and whatnot. I speak a little Spanish. And, you know, there were kids, there were probably about, I want to say 30, 40 kids that came on stage and were dancing with me and praying with me. And I think to myself, like, if I'm a parent and I see kids getting excited about their faith, and I see kids praying the rosary, and I just be like, wow, that's incredible. So for me, it's amazing to be a part of what God has started and to let God move through me. But to see kids excited about their faith at a young age, or dancing around, jumping around, seeing that, oh, you can praise God and you can dance and you can praise God and you can scream and you can rap and you can pray. It's like, it's powerful because you want to take, God always takes us on a journey, and I try to do that as well in my shows. I try to give people some high energy. I also, you know, do reflective times. I talk about my testimony, and I want them to see that, you know, life is a journey and our faith is a journey, and it's important that, you know, we learn to accept that and roll with it, but also not hold back. I think a lot of times we think that, you know, our faith or church says we can only do this. But I'm like, no, be free. God wants you to be free. Be creative. At times have fun. There's times to be quiet and reflective. So for me, to see kids have those seeds planted early on is, I think, one of the greatest gifts, you know, that I can ever, you know, be a part of.
So can you just give us some information on where more people can learn about you and then some of your music ministry?
Yeah, you know, you can check me out at joemelendrez.com. That's Joe, M-E-L-E-N-D-R-E-Z.com. You can listen to all my music there. My music is also on iTunes. You can download it on Spotify as well. There's also links there to my Facebook and YouTube, and you can check out different concert experiences. Another component I have for ministry is a clothing line called God Swag Apparel. So you can wear your faith every day and rep what you believe. So God is a lifestyle, from what you wear to what you listen to how you act. So God Swag Apparel, that can be found through my website as well, joemelendrez.com. Or you can check out godswagapparel.com. Swag is spelled with two G's.
Thank you so much for bringing such coolness to our Catholic culture. You're awesome.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Happy to be a part of it.
All right. Well, we appreciate your story and you sharing your story with us and hope to hear more from you.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
For more information on Joe Melendrez and his ministry, please visit joemelendrez.com. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another great episode. If you've got a story idea or something crazy good going on in your parish you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Many support a woman's right to choose, but sadly, few know the consequences of those choices. The Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. Women who have had an abortion are at higher risk for complications in future pregnancies, especially premature birth and low birth weight of their children. This puts their babies at risk for breathing problems, feeding problems, infections, heart problems, anemia, and eye problems. To find out more, visit cathmed.org.